Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we are once again going to discuss ISIS, or as it prefers, the Islamic State. But today we turn our attention to war, war on ISIS. The president says we are at war. So how can this organization be attacked, the Islamic State, the post-Al-Qaeda world that it is? It's a jihadist threat, but a completely different one from Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, born from the 1979 Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, in which thousands of fighters from around the world, including Osama bin Laden and his entourage, flocked there to resist the Soviet invasion. ISIS, born out of the 2003 U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, in which fighters also gathered there to resist the U.S. invasion. They were there, ready and able to form the Islamic State when the U.S. departed and left a weak Iraqi government. Fighting Al-Qaeda and fighting ISIS requires two different tactics and two different strategies, as was pointed out in a recent article in Foreign Affairs magazine. The article called, quote, "ISIS is not a terrorist group." This article, written by a Professor Cronin, says, quote, "U.S. President Barack Obama drew a straight line between the group and Al-Qaeda and claimed that ISIS is a terrorist organization, pure and simple. This was mistaken. ISIS hardly fits that description, and indeed, although it uses terrorism as a tactic, it is not really a terrorist organization at all," end quote. Well, what did Professor Cronin mean that this is not a terrorist organization? ISIS has an estimated 30,000 fighters. It holds territory in Iraq and Syria. It has bases in other countries. It maintains extensive military capabilities. It controls lines of communication. It commands infrastructure. And it engages in sophisticated military operations. And it confronts the armies of nations on the battlefield. It is more like a nation state led by a conventional army, and so it has to be attacked using strategies other than conventional counterterrorism tactics. The U.S. has become very good at combating terrorism, according to the Washington Post. After 9/11, the U.S. government created some 263 different organizations, including Homeland Security, the National Counterterrorism Center, and Transportation Safety Administration, 263 organizations to fight terrorism. Each year, U.S. intelligence agencies produce some 50,000 reports on terrorism. Well, I wonder who reads all that stuff, folks. 51 U.S. federal organizations and military commands track the flow of money to and from terrorist networks. As a result of all this, terrorist attacks on U.S. soil have been pretty rare since 9/11. The system worked, in other words. But ISIS is different. Killing ISIS commanders will not defeat ISIS because it has command structure similar to a nation state. Cutting off its money would be very difficult because of its $2 to $3 million per day in oil revenue and the money that it steals from other sources, from captured oil fields, its capture of hundreds of millions in currency and gold. It also has captured U.S. weapon systems and ammunition, including tanks. Unlike Al-Qaeda, which lost support in Muslim countries due to its civilian casualties in bombings, etc., which specifically targeted civilians, ISIS grows more popular with each increasingly barbaric example. Its brutality, always filmed for worldwide television, is apparently intended to intimidate and inhibit its opposition, and it is working. Dissent is being suppressed in the Muslim world. ISIS recruiting efforts are attracting young men by offering them religious righteousness as Al-Qaeda offered, but also it offers adventure, personal power, a sense of belonging. Their brutality attracts attention and demonstrates dominance and power over others. Al-Qaeda called followers to an ascetic life of religious piety as warriors in caves, etc., but ISIS' pitch is conquest, including sexual conquest. It procures sexual partners for its male recruits. Sometimes they're voluntary, sometimes they are enslaved, sometimes they're children, folks, I might add. The people who are recruited to ISIS cannot be dissuaded by arguments of logic. It has an appeal to those who desire power and instant primitive gratification. Professor Cronin says that the logic of U.S. counterinsurgency does not suit the struggle against ISIS. The hearts and minds of the Iraqi people cannot be won because we are not there anymore, she says, and we do not control the Iraqi government. Well, here's where I part company with Professor Cronin, though, folks. This is a quote from her article. Quote, of course, this opens up a third possible approach to ISIS. Besides counterterrorism and counterinsurgency, a full-on conventional war against the group waged with the goal of completely destroying it, such a war would be folly, end quote. Well, I understand her reasoning. The American people wouldn't stand for it. No more no-win wars. Doesn't have to be that way, folks. Washington should be able to kill all 30,000 of them. The more that join, the more are massed in one place, thus making them vulnerable for sophisticated American weapon systems. As State Department spokesperson Marie Harf recently said, quote, we cannot win this war by killing them. Thus, she discounted thousands and thousands of years of military history. They go out the window before the logic of Ms. Harp's comments. Yes, wars are won by killing people, folks. So are we at war or not? Just recently, in the last couple of days, ISIS has captured another 70 or more Christians in Syria, which it plans to execute. Something needs to be done, and killing them seems quite logical to me. Finally, folks, is ISIS a threat to the United States or not? I submit that it is. Letting it get stronger is the actual folly. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.